I love live theater. To me, it's where you see acting at its best. And actors actually like live theater better than movies because they have a whole lot more control in terms of what, how the acting is going to go and so on. I don't know if you know, movies are made usually in reverse of what they are shown. So actors don't particularly like that. But we too, in many ways, are also in control of our own personal theater. I like Shakespeare's comment in his play, As You Like It. And he said, all the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. They have their exits and their entrances, and one man in his time plays many parts. It is true that we are the writers and directors and actors and producers of our own play, which we call consciousness. What we don't realize is that if we don't like a certain drama or a certain scene, as the writer, director, and actor, we can change it by changing our beliefs, our views, and our actions. I think the problem becomes a problem when we get all caught up in the play and we become victims and helpless and are forced to live a life that we don't agree with. We get caught up in what other people think or say or do and feel that we have to please others or worse, fight with them to show them how wrong they are. A very wise person once said to me that what others say about me is none of my business, and it was great advice. We can also say that what others think, particularly their beliefs and views, as well as how they act, is not our concern. For we all have a choice to live by human thinking and human conditions, or to live by God's commandments, His truth and principle. When I was a kid, the people in my neighborhood worried a lot about others gossiping about them and how others thought about them. As I got older, I realized how silly that is, because what can we do about somebody else's way of thinking or somebody else's beliefs or views? We should just let them be. Because sometimes you can be nice and friendly, and yet someone may think that you are a phony because you're trying to get something from them. Or you can be rude and mean, and another person will say, oh, well, she's just having a bad day. So we're all judging by appearances, but we're judging by appearances depending on where we are in consciousness. We see the world through our own experience. All of this is about consciousness. It's always only about consciousness. I once knew a woman who truly lived from a consciousness of love because she was wonderful to everybody. She saw everybody as the child of God. For her, everybody was doing the best they could at that time with what they had. She never got offended. I never saw her get angry. If someone was upset, she would basically say quietly, they're just having a bad day. Or she would say, they're not feeling well. She treated everybody with care, understanding, respect, and love. This is to love your neighbor. We must learn that we are not here to change people, improve them, or make them become the kind of people that we want them to be. We are here to know God, and we are here on our own spiritual unfoldment path. So the truth that we learn is for our benefit on this path of unfoldment. However, in practicing truth, if someone is healed in some way, it is because truth is expressed through us, not because of us. When someone referred to Jesus as good, he replied, "Why callest thou me good? None is good except my Father who is in heaven." We have all been brainwashed, believing that we're naive when we see the good in others. And if we say that God, the one good, is in everyone, well, some are ready to admit us into a hospital, for they think we have lost all sensibility. Let me give you an example of losing all sensibility. Just observe what is going on regarding the elections. Just about everybody has an opinion about the candidates. Who is the devil? Who is evil? And who will destroy the country if they are elected or re-elected? So the question is, how do we know that eternal good is found in the saint and the sinner? We know that God's good is in everybody because he created us in his image and his likeness. As spiritual beings, our nature is the same as God's nature. Now, the good that is alive in us does not come from us, the personality. It is God who is the one source of his good. He's the only source. There is no other. We of ourselves cannot make good. We don't have the power to give good. Good is of the Holy Spirit, and his good is eternal. So when we are still enough and quiet enough to listen to God consistently, that is when his good is coming through us, is manifesting through us. I suspect that there are some people that know that God's good is always with them, always accessible. Most, however, probably don't believe that God's good is found within their very own being. This may be hard to believe because of the trials and tribulations that they may be going through, or the feelings that they have of things that they have done that they're not proud of. But you know, it matters not what we have done. God doesn't know anything about that. He only knows us as his beloved child. So we really don't have to try to convince anyone else of a divine good that is always theirs. Instead, we need to live from Jesus' teaching and example. Then we can become the instrument, the vehicle, for God's good to be expressed and known out here in the world. It is in living from the Christ consciousness that those who seek God can experience the good, his good, in action. Consciousness, our state of mind, is the instrument through which our beliefs, that which we hold in perpetual thinking as real and true for us, and our emotions, that which we feel strongly about, are expressed and we experience. In the Bible, we are told in so many words that we are to guard our thoughts, for out of them come the issues of life. It is hard to believe that our emotional thinking is the cause of our pain and our sorrow and fears and all of the situations that we face, but it is true. We choose to live according to human thinking and opinions, or we choose to turn to God, to surrender to him, and let him lead our life. Perhaps this is why God gave us his grace. I believe that everyone at some point in their life have experienced the grace of God. God's grace is his gift of himself to us. He gave it to us just because he loves us. Grace is the gift of God to all living souls everywhere. In the Bible, we are told, "Lo, I am with you always." Spiritual being is perfect, it's whole, complete. This is the gift of God. For God is the only the one and only presence that there is. There is no other presence. God is the one that has power and wisdom, the one power and the one wisdom. Within every living soul is the kingdom of God. No one is more special than anyone else. The kingdom of God is always with us, which means that His grace and His wisdom and His love and His peace and all of His attributes are always with us. The grace of God is available to all. Because God didn't give more spirituality to one person than to another. Now, Jesus knew that He was not special. He told us, "What I do, you can do also, and even greater things than these will you do." The grace of God works for us and through us to touch other people. I remember so many times having conversations with Dr. Salazar, and he would give me from time to time this gem of wisdom. And so later on I would go back to him to ask him more about the particular conversation we had, and he had no memory of it. Because he was the instrument that came through with that gem of wisdom. It didn't come from him, it came through him. And I had a similar experience many, many years ago when a good friend of mine's son-in-law was in a car accident and he made his transition. And she was pretty distraught, as was her daughter. She and I were sitting. She was drinking some tea because she was really upset and was calming down. And I started speaking. When I finished, she said to me, "Oh, please tell my daughter those words." And inside of me, I said, "What did I say?" I had no clue. Because it didn't come from Maria. It came through Maria to her. And those words were only for her. Only for her. So we are the vehicles. And we can be the vehicles for God to come through to touch someone else, to speak to someone else. God will speak through, will speak and act through a consciousness that is receptive and open to Him. And the way that we end up being receptive and open is to have a relationship with Him. If we are constantly turning to Him, silently and quietly. And when I say consistently, I don't mean once a week, I don't mean once a month. I mean every single day. Turn to Him consistently, even if it's only for a few moments. Just to listen to Him. Then we become that vehicle where He then comes through and He is known out here in the world. Now, how we behave toward one another is one of the factors that determines how receptive we are to God. Jesus said, "Inasmuch as ye have done it to the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it to me." When we serve mankind, we are also serving God. And serving is not just about volunteering. But it is also about how we speak to one another, what we say about one another, how we share with one another, and most importantly, how we forgive one another. Our service is done in secret, with no fanfare. For the Father who seeth in secret rewards openly. The secret to supply is to give for the pure joy of giving. When we share, it is God's grace that pours through us, whether it is supply that comes through, whether it is wholeness, whether it is peace and harmony. The grace of God pouring through us is not about personal fulfillment. It is about the activity of God taking place in us. Now, there are people who experience the grace of God when they face a major illness or a major problem. It is often at these times that they realize that they of their own self can do nothing. When we have that realization within us, when we're in a situation that's facing some challenge, and we know in our heart that we ourselves do not have the power to do anything, it is then that we are open to God's grace. We must have faith in God, lose all fear, for God maintains and lifts our consciousness so that we may experience Him and His grace. But we have options. We always have options. We can continue living our life the way that we have. Sometimes it's up and sometimes it's down, and sometimes there's pain and suffering. Or we can turn to the Father. Turn to Him, surrender to Him, and let Him lead our way. Now, we cannot give the grace of God to another. We cannot save the world. But to the degree that we keep our eye on God, His grace will be known out here. We will know His grace. You may remember the story in the Bible, and I speak about the story a lot, because it's a very good example of a consciousness that is filled with the Christ consciousness can do anything. And this is about the woman who was very ill, and she touched the hem of Jesus, and instantly she was healed, and she had wholeness. If we live not by our own will, but God's will, the grace of God will answer any call. Will go before us, making all of the roads and the paths straight and clear. But let us be careful for a minute. We cannot believe that we are doing something. The doing that we do is to be still and listen. But in the moment that we think we're the ones doing something, we're the ones healing someone else, now we are putting up barriers between us and God. God's grace is acknowledged when we turn to the Father and say, "Thank you, Father." When we give gratitude for all that He does and all that He is. God is the one and only. There is no devil. There is no evil. There is no bad. When we turn to Him and acknowledge Him, all the seeming evil and trouble and problems disappear. Now, there are many examples of God's grace in action, and I'm sure all of you have your own experiences, but I want to share one that I came across. And that is, right now, England is in the middle of celebrating Queen Elizabeth II's 60 years on the throne at the age of 83. Now, you may not know, but it was never expected that Elizabeth would become queen, because it was her uncle who was actually in line when her grandfather, George V, died, and not her father, to become king. It was her uncle who was supposed to be king. However, her uncle, after serving for a year, decided to marry a twice-divorced woman instead of being king, and then Elizabeth's father became king, George VI. If you saw the movie The King's Speech is about George VI. And the older daughter was Elizabeth. Now, I believe that Elizabeth became queen by the grace of God. She never could have expected to be queen. It wasn't her destiny. It was her uncle's destiny to become king. However, it is through grace that we often find ourselves at the threshold we never dreamed of, and yet it is given to us. It is given not because we're special or better than others. It is given to us because we are open. Or, as I said earlier, we know we do not have the power to deal with what's in front of us. But somehow, deep inside, we know that there is a divine power where anything is possible. What may seem impossible to us is always possible to the Father. Every time that we turn to the divine within to receive spiritual enlightenment, the amount of the Christ consciousness in the world increases. Every time that we meditate, it is not just for us, but others in the world also get the benefit. When we meditate and there is a connection with our Father, the connections that go on remind me of what Jesus said when he said, "I, if I be lifted up, draw all men unto me." If you study Jesus' life and his lessons and his teachings, it's really about us. We can do what he did, and we will. But first, we must study, we must practice the presence, we must meditate, and we must be ready always to do his will. This is the path to spiritual unfoldment. It doesn't mean that we can't enjoy the things in life that exist, but we should not seek them or let them possess us. We should not let anything get in the way of our spiritual work. We need to seek only God, for to have God, we have everything. It is important that we forgive those that have offended or hurt us and not be consumed with disappointment. Remember, God does not condemn. He taught us to forgive and pray for our enemies. While on the cross, Jesus said to the Father, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." If we have hate in our heart or jealousy or any pain of any kind towards another, we hurt ourselves. For we cannot be an instrument for God's grace. But we also will not be able to experience his presence out here in the world. When we forgive and let go, turning to God with a pure heart. Pure heart means that there is no inequity in that heart. That heart is steadfast focused on God. So our heart must be pure and we must be receptive. We prepare our own way for the divine to work through us, for us, and as us. The story of the prodigal son is about the turning away from the father, turning away from God's kingdom. You see, the Father didn't turn away from us. It is we who turned away from him. Yet, just like the story, the Father could see the Son coming and returning before the Son reached him. And before the Son reached him, he was already preparing the way and meeting his needs. The Father wasn't upset with the Son for leaving or for anything that he had done while he was away. Father lives within us. We must turn to him on a daily basis and be established in his consciousness and his grace. While we see God in action out here in the world, we have to be careful that we're not seeking things in the external. We must first seek everything in the internal. Meditation is a time to still our emotions and quiet our thoughts, being eager to know and experience God. When we sit down to meditate, we should have an expectancy that we're going to know God. We should have an expectancy that he will work through us. We should have an expectancy that we are going to experience all of his attributes. It is a time also to be grateful for the Father's kingdom is already ours. It's found within us. We are the ones that must keep the focus on God and acknowledge him in all of our ways. We must practice the presence daily, as often as possible, and let go of fear and all of the negative emotions, as well as forgiving all, including ourselves. We are not alone. We are never alone, for God is always with us. We know that the kingdom of God is not of this world. Yet when we live by the laws and commandments given by Jesus, the Christed One, and leave this world for periods of silent contemplation and meditation with divine spirit, we do experience God's kingdom. It may be for a very short time, but if we ever experience even a moment of God's joy and love and wisdom and peace and harmony, we know that this is real and within our reach. Jesus told us that the kingdom of God is within you. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. God's work is already finished. He created a complete and perfect kingdom. It is now our turn to choose. To choose to turn to God, leaving all of the human experience out of our silent prayer as we commune with God and practice the truth that we know day after day after day after day. God's kingdom is our kingdom. So let us commit to do the spiritual work so that our consciousness may be transformed, where we have the conscious awareness of God's kingdom, power, and glory. And so it is. Will you please join me now for our closing meditation? If you feel comfortable, close your eyes, relax your bodies, leave all your thoughts aside. Just be still. Know that God is with you. Let us turn ever so quietly within to listen, knowing that the Christ lives within our being. It is in stillness that we surrender to God for His love and peace to be known. Let us be still and remind ourselves that God the Father is ever with us. His presence is here and now. Let us lift our eyes beyond the hills of appearances. We lift our eyes to the light which shows the way. Father, ye are the light of the world. It is your presence ever with us. Let us stand in this light so that we may be a witness to your truth and your grace. We are ever grateful for this understanding and for your light which shines the way to your kingdom and your heaven. Amen. The Lord blesses you and keeps you. The Lord shines His face upon you and is gracious unto you. He lifts your consciousness and gives you His kingdom. Amen. Please stand.